Right, I'm going to pray for Michael and then hand over to him. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Michael. By the way, Michael is our kind of head of discipleship here, a man with immense experience, and we are so blessed to have him. So Lord, we thank you for Michael. Would you bless him now and anoint him so he can really change our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. As Will has mentioned, we're thinking about discipleship tonight. We had three talks on our vision statement last month about worshiping God, making friends, and changing the world. But the sort of enveloping those words is the statement that we are a community of disciple-making disciples. Over there on there's a table over there with some books relating to discipleship and making disciples. And one that I've found particularly helpful, that's actually not for sale, but we can order copies, is literally called Making Disciples, How Did Jesus Do It? And that I found incredibly helpful, and I recommend that. But basically, yeah, we're going to think a little bit around this whole subject of what it means to be a disciple and make disciples. And Ashley is going to start off with a reading, which really starts us right at the beginning of this process.
Today's reading is taken from John 1, verse 35 to 42, which can be found on page 1064. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked them, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated to Peter.
Can you imagine somebody pointing out, "That's Jesus," and Jesus saying, "Come and see, come and have a cup of tea"? Can you imagine the wonderful, amazing privilege of just spending time with Jesus as Peter and Andrew and some of the early disciples had their first encounter with Jesus? I'm not sure about the big title that Will mentioned, but I've been really passionate in a way about discipleship for many, many years. I'm into this because it's what Jesus has, what he did and what he's told us to do. I'm committed to it because many, many years ago, nearly 50 years ago, I became both a believer and a disciple of Jesus because a young dairy farmer in a remote village in New Zealand discovered how to do what Jesus commanded, and he just got on with it. And I happened to be in the right place at the right time. I'm passionate about this because so many churches have ignored this, yet it's the most obvious way to grow a church. It's Jesus' way. And I'm passionate about it because it's simple, it's almost cost-free, and it works. So today we're going to explore what it means to be disciples, be disciples who make disciples. I want to hopefully encourage some of you to realize that you are already disciples, and even disciple makers, and others of you that you can actually sign up today to become a disciple. It's important stuff, because making disciples was the principal strategy of Jesus. It was the primary focus of both his ministry and the succession plan for when his time here on earth came to an end. He invested a huge amount of time teaching, training, and encouraging a small bunch of people. He invested heavily in 12 of them, and in particular, in 3 of them. And finally, he entrusted, just get this, Jesus entrusted the future of God's eternal plan of salvation into the hands of a bunch of people who were later described as unschooled, ordinary men. But the defining factor in that description of them was it was noted that they had been with Jesus. So that the very effect of being constantly with Jesus over that period of time transformed them. And the mark of a true disciple is that people will recognize. They may think we're weird, but they will recognize we're Jesus' people. You and I are here today because those 11 disciples and the people they trained to become disciples actually did what Jesus asked them to do. And others have done the same thing for the last 2,000 years. But we also have to recognize that there are many people who call themselves Christians who sit passively in pews today and don't do what Jesus told us to do. So let's think about what the words disciple and disciple maker actually mean. The word used in the Bible for disciple literally means a learner or one who follows the teaching of another. So a disciple is simply someone who recognizes that Jesus is special, is willing to take seriously the task of getting to know him and find out how he wants us to live. A disciple maker is someone who helps another person to grow as a disciple, building up trust and being there for them at all times. This is not new to BPC. Connect groups encourage people to grow in their relationship with Jesus, to read and study the Bible, and put into practice what Jesus teaches. So effectively, the leaders are helping people to grow as disciples. And how many of you are Connect Group leaders? You are disciple makers, so welcome on board. Then there's this question of discipleship, which is the overall term for this kind of ministry. What it refers to is the whole process by which people grow as disciples. The vision statement of one church says that they exist to help unreligious people become fully devoted followers of Christ. It points to a process of helping people to grow as disciples from the first moment that they have an inkling that Jesus might be special, like Andrew and his brother at the first time they met Jesus, right through to the time when they are fully mature disciples and effective disciples of Jesus. It's like the process through which an acorn grows into a mature oak tree. It takes time, and there's definitely a process going on there. But because we're all different, and we're all at different stages in our life and faith, we need support relevant to where we are at. Now, we have, Zena and I have a 5-month-old grandson who's cute and cuddly, but can't yet sit up alone and can't crawl. We also are blessed with a 10-month-old granddaughter who's crawling all over the place. She's also cute and cuddly, but she crawls everywhere, just beginning to pull herself up on things, yet she can't walk yet. She has a 5-year-old sister who's at primary school, can use an iPhone better than either of us, can swim and ride a bike. They each need support and teaching relevant to their age and stage. Thankfully, their dads are now both in their 30s, they earn their own living and are no longer quite so dependent upon us, but yet they still phone up and want to discuss things with us. It's a changing relationship as we grow. Now, there are great resources to help us to do this. There are books and websites, and you can have a look at those books afterwards. But there's no one-size-fits-all solution. We can't say, come and join the BPC discipleship course, 8 weeks, you'll get a certificate at the end of it, and then you're sorted. It doesn't work like that. Discipleship recognizes that we all have different needs. We're all at different starting points, and those needs need to be met in different ways. But I think in this process, there are two non-negotiables. Firstly, that a person is being helped into a deepening, life-changing relationship with Jesus. And secondly, that they have someone alongside them to walk with them on the journey. In fact, to really grow in our faith and our walk with Jesus, Nikki Gumbel suggests we need both a Paul and a Timothy. That means a more experienced Paul to guide us on our journey, but a less experienced Timothy that we are immediately also investing in, because as we start to help somebody else, we grow and mature. How do we do it in practice? How did the master disciple maker do it? Jesus trained his disciples primarily by building strong relationships with them And he did that in the context of daily life. They traveled with him, ate with him, lived with him, watched him, listened to him, questioned him. And then he gave them opportunities to have a go themselves. To start with, you'll see in the Gospels, he gave them specific instructions where to go, what to say, where to stay, where to eat, and what to do. But each time he sent them out, their experience and their confidence grew. He emphasized also the importance on taking on board all that he was teaching them, and he gave a lot of time to teaching and explaining things to them. He also explained to them how the Old Testament pointed to him and how the whole thing relates together. Then before he returned to heaven, what's recorded as his last words, he gave them their final instructions. And with them, he gave us our instructions. Your task, he says, is to go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, go and do for others what I have done for you. That's the task. And then he told them how to do it, your method. Firstly, baptize them. That means welcome them into the family. Give them a new identity as my children. And secondly, teach them. But don't just teach them. We have to teach them to obey and put into practice everything he's commanded us. And that means doing exactly what it says. Years ago in Rwanda, I used to take a weekly service at the local prison. And one Sunday, I preached on this verse. And as I heard myself emphasizing again and again the importance of teaching people to put into practice everything Jesus had commanded, I had one of those rather awkward moments. I kind of had this voice inside me. Do you actually know what you're talking about? Do you actually know what Jesus has taught us? And if you do, are you actually putting it into practice? It challenged me, do I have the right to teach something that I am not modeling in my own life? So for the next few months, we've worked our way through the whole of Matthew's gospel. We left out the genealogies at the front, but we carried on with all his teaching and miracles and stories and everything. And as we did so, we particularly asked ourselves, did we understand it? Were we putting it into practice? And were we able to teach someone else to do it? And if you work your way through Matthew's gospel, surprisingly, you come to Matthew 28, where it says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them. So we had to ask ourselves, are we actually beginning to do this to others? Now, in that prison, I had limited access to the inmates, but they had a lot of access to each other, and they literally did what the Bible says. They organized cell groups, and that's not a pun. There were about 20 men to a cell, and they organized cell groups, and each one helping another to grow as a disciple. And the group in that prison grew significantly, and the prison authorities in Rwanda had a habit of transferring people around the place for various reasons. And so as some of that group got moved to other prisons, so they started doing the same thing in other prisons, and it multiplied throughout the 10 regions of the country. Do you get the picture? Effective disciples become disciple makers who make effective disciples simply by doing what Jesus tells us to do. This is not just theory, it works. The farmer who helped me to find Jesus lived in an isolated area, and he had 300 cows to milk twice a day, so he was pretty well tied to his farm. But he and his wife prayed that God would use them to help one person at a time to find Jesus and become a disciple. And they also prayed that God would use them to make disciples in other nations. They had a vision. They had a couple who used to meet with them occasionally to encourage them and talk through this thing. They had some Bible study books, a little bit like an Alpha course, and they had a home to welcome people into. When I first met them, I was milking cows on a farm in another part of the village. They invited me to a meal. During supper, they asked me, had I ever seriously considered the life of Jesus as revealed in the Bible? I was intrigued by the question and accepted the offer of a small Bible study booklet and their invitation to come back the following week to tell them how I got on. Neither of them had any formal training other than their own relationship with Jesus. Yet, they just gave me a book and let me get on with it, and let me discuss it with them. And through studying that little booklet and their loving encouragement, I met Jesus. I remained 7 months longer in Rwanda, in New Zealand, and met with them every week to study the Bible, to pray, to spend time. And they taught me to do these things. They taught me to study. They taught me to pray. They taught me to spend time alone with God. They taught me how to show someone else the way to become a Christian. They taught me the importance of being a disciple and of making disciples. And so I then came back to England and then went in to do other things. But from that moment onwards, whatever I was doing, whatever my day job was, at the heart of everything, what I wanted to do was help people to become disciples of Jesus. Now, 2 years ago, as you probably know, that part of that work process was we spent many years in Rwanda. And 2 years ago, we returned to Rwanda for a visit. And one day I met up with somebody that I'd known quite well 30 years previously. And I hadn't actually heard anything about him in the meantime. But when I first knew him, he was just a member of one of the youth groups that I used to visit. And then later, he was a student at a rural Bible school that I taught at occasionally, that trained the equivalent of LLMs to run small daughter churches and later trained pastors. But by the time we went to Rwanda a few years ago, he'd become a pastor. He was leading a big town center church and was also an archdeacon. So he'd become quite an important guy in the diocese. We had a conversation, and he reminded me of a one-off conversation that we had had many, many years ago when he was a student at the Bible school. Apparently, at one point, he had been close to chucking it in and leaving. He was so discouraged by what was going on in the school. But apparently, I had a chat with him and explained to him about investing in one or two others, helping them to become disciples who could in turn help others to become disciples. And he told me that that conversation convinced him to complete his course at the school, to become a pastor, and ever since, whatever else he's done, above everything, he's concentrated on helping people to become disciples. I was just gobsmacked by that. I couldn't even remember that conversation. But God is great. Someone in New Zealand shared with a farmer and his wife a vision to make disciples. They shared that vision with me. I shared it with a young man in Rwanda. And he's been doing it ever since. And God used a New Zealand farmer who prayed that God would use him to make disciples of all nations, to make disciples in Rwanda and other nations. I want to put it to you, I believe that we need to understand about being disciple-making disciples, because the greatest need in BPC and for each one of us personally is to discover what it means to be a wholehearted, fully committed disciple of Jesus. And the second greatest need is for people to get a vision for helping one another along the journey. I think if we can get this, and if we get it right, and we can get it working throughout the church, we will be worshiping God with even more zeal, we will be making even more friends, and we will be actually impacting on the world outside. But I also think we'll have more people on the rotas to do things that we need to have done. Okay, so how can I become a disciple? First, a warning. A disciple is not the same as a believer. A believer may recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, may have received forgiveness, and have new life in him. They may have completed an Alpha course. They may be in a Connect group. But they are still largely people who do their own thing. But to be a disciple, there needs to be a conscious recognition that Jesus Christ is God and King and Lord, and a definite decision made to follow him 100% and make growing in your relationship with him absolute top priority, whatever that involves. There's a difference. Many years ago, somebody told me how they had been, their American farmer's son, how he had changed from being a farmer's son who was also a Christian. to becoming a Christian who was also a farmer's son. And that's the difference between just being an ordinary Christian and being a disciple of Jesus. Suddenly, Jesus becomes top priority. Becoming a disciple of Jesus may well involve making changes to our lives, our lifestyle, and our commitments. It's not to be, as they say in the marriage service, entered into lightly. Jesus is not like an app or Amazon to be used or referred to when it suits you. Getting to know Jesus means developing a new relationship that will have a bearing on every aspect of your life. Following him requires time, commitment, and discipline. So if you're still with me, 5 simple steps to becoming a disciple of Jesus. Firstly, recognize that Jesus is inviting you to be on his team. He invites you to be a disciple. He said in that reading to the first disciples who knew nothing about him, come and see. Some of you may be just at that stage. I need to find out more about Jesus. So his invitation to you is come and see. Some of you have been on the road for a long time and know a lot about him. Jesus is saying, come, follow me. And when he said that to Peter and John and Andrew, they left everything to follow him. Secondly, get yourself a good, readable Bible in an up-to-date version and preferably one with notes. Thirdly, join a connect group, but before you do, check out that they are really serious about being disciples. Fourthly, and this is absolutely vital, find somebody willing to meet with you regularly on a one-to-one basis, to read and discuss the Bible, and to support you as you work out how to live each day as a disciple of Jesus. That's the hardest part, because at the moment we don't know who in the church is actually willing and able to do that sort of thing. But we'll come to that. There's more to this, much more to this, and I'm planning to hold 2 or 3 Saturday morning sessions in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Just for anyone who wants to go into this in greater detail. And I'm going to be over there afterwards, and you can come and tell me, and we'll work out some convenient dates. But finally, just a brief word about actually making disciples. Honestly, there is no greater joy or satisfaction than watching someone discover that Jesus is alive, that he knows and loves them, and then, like a baby learning to walk, to see the changes in them as their relationship with Jesus grows. There should be actually a health warning. Helping people to grow as disciples is addictive. Once you start, you may well get hooked for life. But if you get into what that means and start to do it and see the impact, it is life-changing. There are, again, 5 things I want to suggest. Everything I've just said about being a disciple applies to you. You can't help someone become what you are not. Only disciples can make disciples. That also includes, secondly, finding someone to help you. You need a Paul if you're going to make a Timothy. Thirdly, come to the meetings that we're planning on a Saturday morning so that we can think about this in greater detail. And fourthly, pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you to the right person to help. And fifthly, I think I've already mentioned this, come and see me afterwards to discuss this further. So there's a bunch of books, as I mentioned, over there. I will be over there in a few minutes. We're going to have a song now. And during this song, it's about our commitment to Jesus. And I want to just ask you, are you willing to say to Jesus, I want 100% to get to know you, to respond positively to your decision, to your invitation to come, follow me.